You're listening to Destination University. USC, UCLA, Harvard, they all go test optional. Now what? If you're a parent of a class of 2021 teen, you're wondering, should they take the test? What if they can't take the test? Or you're thinking, the school went pass no pass in the spring, so now what? The writing is on the wall that this coming admission season will become more holistic than ever. And if you're a parent of a teen of a class of 22 or beyond, this is definitely the future. So what does that mean? It means this. Colleges will still want to see the quantifiable data whenever possible. Grades and rigor of curriculum and any testing that they might have, such as AP scores, or in this case this year, maybe SAT or ACT scores. This is known as your academic qualities, AQs. However, it is the PQs, the personal qualities, that will begin to play a bigger role. PQs answer questions like, who am I? What am I good at? What is cool or different about me? And what are my academic or career goals? Where are the PQs revealed, you ask? Well, you might have already guessed it. Through the college essays. Yep. And if you don't know by now, essays are my jam. And with that said, I thought I would give you an encore presentation of the four podcast episodes just about essays. Summer is my favorite time of year. Yes, I'm in Southern California, so it's sunny and lovely daily. But it's really my favorite time of year because of college essay boot camp. Rising seniors come every summer. They come to camp feeling nervous and hesitant of what they will write about. Often it's the parent who's enrolled them and they're feeling like they don't want to so much get up in the morning and do the work. So they're thinking though, am I interesting enough? What really makes me different or unique? Or what I tell them is, what is your coolness factor? But somehow, just in 5 days, these teens leave feeling confident, know that they are interesting, and proudly hold up their graduation sign with the words #5essaysdone or #6essaysdone. The huge smile on their face is enough to make me melt every single time. You see, the truth is, like this podcast, College Essay Bootcamp is not about getting admitted to college. It is about teens discovering who they are, what they love, and how they are different, and where they are headed. The destination is not university, but rather the destination is you. Destination University. If you have a rising senior, class of 2021, who is ready for the 5 days of work and reflection for the result of 5 essays or more, then College Essay Bootcamp is definitely for you, actually for your teen, right? We currently have over 70 students already enrolled in the 2020 sessions, so please join us. You can go to my website, www.drcynthiacolon.com. That's DrCynthiaCol, like Larry, O-N like Nancy.com, and register today. All the camps this year will be held live stream via Zoom, so you can join from anywhere in the country. And oh, by the way, we've been Zooming for over a year now, before Zooming was cool. Even last summer, we had over 9 states represented. And here is what some parents had to say. I thought you might want to hear. So the first one is, she has 2 students, one graduated in 2020 and one who is going through the process again after graduating from high school a couple years ago. She says, my advice to parents, start early and partner with Dr. Colon. Thanks to her insights, structure, and gentle but firm interventions when needed, both my daughter and son nailed their essays, got done with time to spare, were accepted to their top choice schools, and were offered many academic scholarships. They both will be attending their dream schools this fall, and I was relieved of stress. That's Sadell. Essay camp saved my life. As a full-time working single parent of twins, the college app process loomed large, despite the excellent counseling my kids were getting at school. Enter essay camp. Shockingly, my twins wanted to go, and off they went. One came home with 4 essays and one with 5. All were excellent. I highly recommend essay camp. It made life so much easier, and my kids' apps, total of 24, were out the door by mid-October. All early. It made for a very calm holiday season, especially as acceptances started rolling in before Thanksgiving. That's Melissa, parent of twins. Oh, I still remember those kids. There was a girl and a boy, and so they were quite different, but it was great, a joy to work with them. Okay, here's the third note from a parent. Dr. Colon's Essay Bootcamp and Destination University podcast have been life-saving for my son and me. With the typical senior year looming, SAT prep, a part-time job, full-time dual credit, and intense robotics season, applying to colleges seemed overwhelming. Dr. Colon not only streamlined the essay writing process, but also helped him understand how to relate his story in every essay. It is a skill I did not know how to convey to my homeschooled son. Now he has been admitted to all his top choices and is knocking out scholarship essays with the same techniques. Thanks, Dr. Colon. That's Erica and her son. They are from Texas. Oh, my goodness. So amazing. So the bottom line is this. There are these encore episodes that I'm going to share. There are 4, and they are with the 4 foundational essay types that we teach in class. The who am I question, the what am I good at, what is something cool about me, and what is my future academic or career goals. So I hope that you enjoy all these episodes. And more than that, again, if you have a rising senior, we hope to see you in College Essay Bootcamp. Go to my website and register today. Enjoy. And as for me, I'm off to camp today. Bye for now.
There is no guarantee for success, but there are ways to get closer to it when you do the right things. Who you surround yourself with is just as important as what you do. Finding the right people, the right classes, the right activities, and taking the right tests are all decisions that shape your future. Find out more today on Destination University with Dr. Cynthia Colon. Dr. Colon and her guests will give you the tips you need, whether you're a student, parent, or educator. Now, here is your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon.
Would you like nuts on your sundae, sir? I waited for the customer's reply. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the owner motioning to me to join him in the booth when I was done. All hot and sweaty, I came out from back in my uniform and hat and sat down across from him. He wanted to go over the profit and loss statements with me. I had no idea what that was and could only see a giant binder full of rows and columns listing every single expense of the restaurant. "You see this line here?" I nodded. "This is how much the nuts on a sundae cost every month." The list was seemingly endless, and there were things I never thought about, like a franchise fees and machine repairs. What the customer sees as a fourth pickle on their cheeseburger or nuts on the sundaes, he saw as $100 a month. On the other hand, he is willing to break even on burgers, so customers come in and add a drink to their order. I asked him why he was spending that much on advertising or rent, and he showed me there was thought and purpose behind every number on that sheet, because every penny added up. After our talk, I went back to work, but everything seemed different. I was taking orders at the cash register, and all I could think about were the little costs doubling, then tripling. That fascination compelled me to take economics and statistics my senior year. Now, I never add nuts to my Sunday. Well, hello, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of the book Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens. Welcome to Destination University. We help college-bound teens write compelling essays that increase acceptance letters. We do this through online or live group classes and private counseling. Consider me your step-by-step college admissions coach and cheerleader. By being here today, you are helping to grow the community of informed families across the nation. Thank you for joining the movement. Okay. Every time I read that essay, what I love more than anything is the simplicity of it. It's relatable. I mean, many teens have had a part-time job at some point. So even me, when I read it as an adult, I can think back to my part-time job, not at fast food, but at a restaurant. And so I guess that many adults have had some kind of job in the food service industry. So it's very relatable. I'll tell you right now that this applicant was applying to business schools and needed a what I call a future connection essay. So that's what we're talking about today. Part four of the five-part mini-series is the essay type number four, the academic essay, or what I call the future connection essay. So as a bonus for you, I'm featuring three essays today, and I'll explain why this is important for you to have in your portfolio of essays to use in this process. By the way, if you listen to last week's episode, the Taco Bell essay, I say, is by far one of my favorite essays of all time. But today, sample essay number two is so brilliantly written and done. I'll tell you right now, it's about a medical internship, but it's actually also about Kobe Bryant. So this student found a way to weave in his love of basketball and his desire to go into the medical field. It's really brilliant, and I promise you, you're going to be wowed. So that is sample essay number two today. So we've got the McDonald's essay, the Kobe Bryant essay, and an essay about calculus. Those are our samples today. So stick to all the way to the end. I promise you're going to love it. Before we dive in, let me first explain this essay type. The future connection, like I always think, there's always typically a question about like, what's your passion? Or sometimes you can find in the supplemental essay, why are you applying to this particular major? So I always thought students needed to have this type of essay. But also there could be a tie to some academic piece, something that you've done academically that inspired you. So the question really is, can you pinpoint when you decided to pursue a specific career or major, some career path or some major that you're going to, that you're interested in for college? So examples of what you might write about include internships, work experiences, even volunteering experiences might have led to some kind of future connection. So some academic love or connection or passion that you have, right? A paper that you had to write or some experiment that you did in lab that, you know, sparked some interest. So it could also be like the person who inspired or encouraged you to pursue the career path of your choice. So good. Does this make sense? All right. And as a reminder, for this series, I recommend that you have in front of you that you've downloaded the 10 free sample essays. It's on the homepage of my website, drcynthiacolon.com, and it's labeled Stop Procrastinating, 10 Essays to Get You Started. So hopefully you have that in front of you. Okay, so let's get to it. Okay, so we're going to talk about why you need to write about a future connection or in sort of an academic subject, okay? Because I spend a lot of time talking about the PQs in your application, your personal qualities. I know that I do that. I talk about, you know, your coolness factor and things that you do and your leadership, all of those things that really make you pop off the page and stand out in an application. But at the end of the day, you are applying to college where you will be, you will first become a student, a scholar. So you need to sound like you are, in fact, ready for college when you're applying. So when I meet with a family privately or one of my families from Our Lady of Peace in San Diego, my questions surrounding the AQs, academic qualities, include the following four questions. Question number one, tell me about your grades. Which APs and honors did you take? While I have the transcript in front of me, I'm asking the student to say it out loud, which courses they chose to take at a more advanced level. I'm asking them to say out loud which courses caused any bit of struggle or caused a challenge for them. Which ones did they have to work harder in versus the ones that they were sort of naturally good at or wanted to work harder in? I can also tell just by looking at the weighted and unweighted GPA. I can approximate how many B's were on the transcript and or if I believe there were any C's somewhere. So that's the question number one. I walk through their grades and their honors and APs as the first step in understanding their AQs. Question two, let's take a look at your test scores, whether it's the SAT or the ACT, and any subject exams, okay? Super scoring and the whole bit. We walk through all of the test scores. Again, this helps to continue painting the picture of what the student is naturally good at, or at least where his or her strengths naturally lie. Question three, what are you planning on majoring in? Followed quickly by the question about which colleges are you applying to or plan to apply to? So again, all of this is meant for the student to say it out loud. And I'm forming, like I'm taking notes and thinking, okay, does this match? You know, they said they took AP statistics and AP calculus and AP physics or whatever, and that matches the major. Or I'm thinking, oh, they took AP English and didn't take, you know, took pre-calculus as the, you know, extent of their math. Or so I'm making some notes in my head and on paper as the students are sharing what they're planning. Question four, when and how did you decide on that major? This is a question I love in a private family meeting. I ask each parent what their teen was like as a child. What did she love doing? What was he really good at? When the teen can answer this question fairly articulately, it works. She knows, he gets it, and I can clearly see a path of evidence as to how we arrived here. Here's the deal. Your application has to make sense. In other words, if your best subjects are in English and in the humanities, and your lower grades come in math and sciences, it is probably not the best idea to declare chemistry or engineering as your chosen major. And the reverse is true as well. If you're taking AP Calculus, BC, AP Physics, and AP Chemistry, and you've spent your time on the robotics team all 4 years, it may come as a bit of a surprise and a disconnect if you now want to major in film. In my questions to students, my goal is to get them to connect the dots. Teens arrive at a point of applying to college. They decide what they want to do and what they want to study, but haven't given much time to reflect on why they chose that, why they see themselves in that role later in life. I mean, some do, don't get me wrong, especially those who are applying to really, you know, top schools, HYP or S and Rice and Northwestern and places like that, Duke, Georgetown. They do have more of a sense, for sure. But for the most part, most teens haven't really thought about why they are choosing the field they're choosing or when it dawned on them in their life to choose what they choose. But when they really know, when they're what they're good at, it's really helpful in this process. Okay, so together we help paint the picture for the teen, the family, which makes it easier to paint that picture for the admission office and reading that file. So gathering all this data together helps to arrive at how we should paint that picture or how the student should paint that picture. Okay, to review, why do you need to have an academic or future connection essay? So this essay is designed to, one, describe why you want X major or career path. Two, offer evidence that this decision wasn't made in just 10 minutes before hitting submit. Three, show that you are ready for college, meaning being a student or a scholar. I could go on about each of these, but suffice to say, why do you want to go to college is basically why you need this essay. Tell me, teach me, show me why. Okay, you get it? Got it? Okay, good. So we're ready, finally, to review some sample essays. So I hope you're ready. Whatever you're doing, I love that I'm honored that you take me on your walk or your drive or wherever you're listening to. Maybe you're on the treadmill. I don't know. That's probably what I would be doing. Actually, I listen to podcasts when I drive. So, all right, I'm going to give you the questions from the start. So if you listened to the last three episodes, you know the questions, but here they are again. After I read each essay, I'm going to ask you this. What do you remember? What stands out? What tiny details can you picture? And what did you learn about the applicant? Okay, so it's been a few minutes since I read the first essay in the opening, but I'm going to read it quickly again. Okay, I'm going to read most of it. I'm going to kind of skip around. Okay. Would you like nuts on your sundae, sir? I waited for the customer's reply. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the owner motioning for me to join him in the booth when I was done. He wanted to go over the profit and loss statements with me. I had no idea what that was and could only see a giant binder full of rows and columns listing every single expense of the restaurant. You see this line here? I nodded. This is how much the nuts on a sundae cost every month. This list was seemingly endless, and there were things I'd never thought about. What the customer sees as a fourth pickle on their cheeseburger or nuts on a sundae, he saw as $100 a month. I asked him why he was spending so much money on advertising and rent, and he showed me there was a thought process behind every number on that sheet because every penny added up. After our talk, I went back to work, but everything seemed different. I was taking orders at the cash register, and all I could think about were the little costs doubling, then tripling. That fascination compelled me to take economics and statistics my senior year. Now, I never add nuts to my sundae. Okay, what do you remember? What stands out? What tiny pictures, tiny details can you picture? So, what do you remember? I mean, the nuts on the sundae, right? Like, that's woven throughout the essay. What stands out for me is that he's getting to learn about this profit and loss sheet, something that he doesn't really know about beforehand. And it changes his thinking as he goes back to the cash register. So he starts at the cash register, he goes back to the cash register. What tiny details could you picture? So to go back to the nuts on the sundae, this essay, by the way, is like just so good for an example. It has so many pieces to it that I could really, really break down. But the tiny details, like the pickle, the fourth pickle, I love that he says that. The nuts on the sundae, of course. And the giant binder filled with rows and columns. And every detail, every expense was listed. The other thing that stands out is he says, he says something about what the customer sees, like there's so much more, something like that. So we're getting like a little picture of like what he's thinking and how he's learning from this little, I mean, this is a tiny window of his life. Like we're talking, I don't know, probably a 30-minute window of his life, maybe at the most. So I want you to when you're listening to this again, this episode again, this part, I want you to really write down the details that you remember. So what do you learn about this applicant? This applicant, we learn, first of all, just the plain thing. We learn that he has a job, that he, you know, worked, and he worked at McDonald's. We learn that he's interested in perhaps, you know, studying business or something like that. We learn that he took statistics his senior and economics his senior year because he was so fascinated by all of this. And we learn that he's thoughtful, and that meaning that the boss, the owner, sort of, you know, wants to see him. I mean, I don't think many bosses sort of call over, you know, every single person to go over their profit and loss sheet. So either there's a connection or a relationship there, which I don't believe there is, I think, and, or, you know, he's a worker that is getting sort of called out and sort of shown things. Okay. So lots of things that we can, learn about who he is, through this essay. It's a short essay. It's a very short essay. Why does this work? I think I said it a little earlier, but this works because it's so relatable. Again, many teenagers have some kind of part-time job. And so any reader, no matter what their age, whether it's an admission officer who's just fresh out of college and working in the admission office, or someone who's been seasoned and been working in this business for 25 years, this essay is very relatable to anyone reading it. And, you know, it's friendly. He comes across as very likable. It's very easy read. Okay, let's move on to essay sample number 2. Oh my goodness, I just love this essay. This essay is a bit longer, so whatever you're doing, come back to me and pay attention, because this is a pretty special and unique essay. And I don't like to use that word too loosely, but here we go. This essay is about Kobe Bryant and a medical internship. Okay? Yep. Here we go. As I watch him fly through the air, Kobe is about to secure his 5th championship ring, having spent his entire career wearing purple and gold. His secret? The court is his temple, where he worships the net. He is the first to arrive and the last to leave, becoming the supreme basketball player of all time. Kobe inspires me to become the best doctor and one day conduct surgery with as much dexterity with my scalpel as he has with a basketball. My excitement to be able to shadow a doctor, my dad's close friend, Dr. Onda, was as exciting as Game 7 in 2010. 7 years later, here I am in downtown Los Angeles at a hospital, ecstatic to see a surgery. Dr. Onda was someone that my father was very close to and someone he admired as a person. Dr. Onda was skillful, just like any other doctor, but he went above and beyond in the surgery room. At 5 a.m., my mother drops me off at the nearly empty parking lot to meet Dr. Onda. He, in his dress slacks, I follow him to his work area, where he begins reviewing charts and inputting information into the computer. He's prepping for surgery on the liver of a person who has consumed too much alcohol. Now, wearing his blue uniform and mask, Dr. Onda settles into his pregame rituals, gathering his teammates, checking his tools, and reviewing the patient. I, too, change into a borrowed set of scrubs, getting ready to witness greatness, just like a basketball player would. Just as I watched Game 7 from my couch, today I have the honor of becoming Dr. Onda's greatest fan while sitting in the stands. Dr. Onda dribbled, grasping his scalpel, and shot the basketball into the net, all net, making an incision, starting to open the stomach. Passing the scalpel, a technical foul was committed by the first-year attendee, so Dr. Onda, the great mind that he has, must rebound and revamp the incision. Back in the basket, 3 seconds left, Dr. Onda shoots a three-pointer to win his game. All that's left is the celebration, delivering the good news to the patient. High fives all around. No regular surgeon could achieve what Dr. Onda just did. After it was finished, he asked me what I thought and I told him it was more exciting than watching Game 7. Flattered by my comment, it is the first smile that I've seen on his face. Dr. Onda has Kobe Bryant's work ethic, doing surgeries 12 hours long at a time, and always the first and last to leave the surgery room. On this day, Dr. Onda gave me a peek into what will one day become my temple. After witnessing this, I wanted more. I want to watch more surgeries. I am growing into that consummate worker. I might be a rookie, but I can't wait to learn the craft and hone the skill of the scalpel. I will figure out how to surpass the most skilled of surgeons and one day wear my purple and gold lab coat. Oh, my word. Is that not one of the best essays ever? I just love it. I mean, it's just so this is what I call unique and pretty special. If you can find a way to blend in two loves and weave in, you know, while weaving in sort of a really great accomplishment, in this case, his internship, I mean, it's nothing short of brilliant. So, all right, here are the questions. What do you remember? So first of all, I just read that essay in full for the first time, probably since a year ago when I haven't read it in full. I read parts of it. So it was pretty awesome. What do you remember? So the purple and gold lab coat, I remember pieces of Kobe. I remember the pieces connecting basketball and the scalpel, things like that. What stands out for me is like his enthusiasm for both things. Like you get a sense of his personality in this act. Again, this is so rare and so hard to do. So you get a sense of his personality and what he loves, which is basketball. He's obsessed with basketball. But you also get the sense like he's not trying to be a basketball player. That's not what he's going to do. That's probably not really what he's good at. He just enjoys the sport and is just, you know, a lover of Kobe Bryant. But this essay is about his medical internship or his day that he shadowed this doctor, really. So that's what stands out, his sort of love and passion for both things that he found a way to blend into one essay. What are the tiny details you could picture? Again, the purple and gold, the like high fives, foul was committed, the 3 seconds left. So all of the whole metaphor, all of those details are what stands out. Again, what makes this kind of cool, this could also fall into the category of the coolness factor, but what makes this essay really cool and different and is that you leave the essay knowing that it was about his love and desire to want to be a surgeon. But what sticks with you are all of the little pieces about basketball. Again, this essay is sort of nothing short of brilliant. So what did you learn about this applicant? So what I learned is that, you know, this plain things. He has his at the hospital. I think it's a full internship, but this is just one day of the internship. He wants to be a surgeon, so he's probably going to major in some sciences or math or sciences and do pre-med, that kind of thing. We learn that he loves, you know, basketball. We learn a lot. We learn that he's a hard worker and that he's driven. What he's making reference to is the fact that Kobe is the best in his industry, in his sport. And this doctor, this surgeon, is also the best in his industry. And so he's drawing out that he aspires to do the same, to be the best. So I learn about his, like, just his grit and perseverance. That's what I learn. Okay. Why does this essay work? Okay, I'm not even going to begin to answer that question for you because you probably can already answer that question. You've now been listening to 4 episodes and this essay works on so many levels for the reader. So it's pretty awesome. Okay, let's go on to Another example, example number three, because we want to also talk about an academic essay. And I'm cognizant that in the UC application, University of California application, there are questions that ask you to talk about academics. So I thought I would give you an example of one that worked really well. And this comes from this summer, a student from this summer. So this is sample essay number three. Here we go. I know, that last essay. Oh, to die. Okay, this essay is about calculus. For the first time, I felt as if I didn't belong in class. I doubted my academic abilities. I recognized that calculus would be the most challenging class I would take that year. After school, prepared with daily questions, I plopped down next to my math teacher, Mr. Moore, trying to make sense of the graphs and derivatives. I reviewed each day's lesson until I finally started to grasp at the content. But the next day, I would walk confidently into class only to see that we were building on yesterday's lesson. The numbers, letters, and equations jumped off the board, each one like a wave crashing over me until I was drowning in an ocean of confusion. Soon, it came time to take the second test. I was nervous. The embarrassment of my first exam score was still fresh in my brain. This time, though, I acknowledged the countless hours after school I spent getting help, the nights when I stayed up until 2:30 a.m. practicing problems and watching Khan Academy videos, and my teacher's motivational words. Several days later, my teacher passed back our test. He placed mine face down in front of me. I slowly lifted the corner of the page and read, 75%. I overheard my classmates. I got a 98%. How about you? Oh, I got 100%. Yet I was satisfied. My individual growth and progress as a student was more valuable. Months passed and the AP test loomed. I remember the feeling of defeat and the desire to give up. I told myself that even though that grades mattered, my own progress held more significance. I finished the test confident in what I had done and proud of the long journey to that day. The computer screen illuminates my face. College Board website announces, AP scores released. I sign in and click view. The tiny font reads, AP Calculus, your score, 4. Once again, tears fill my eyes, but this time out of elation. I saw how far I had come and my success because of my perseverance and hard work. Okay, so there you have it. Very simple, right? It's just a simple essay about her journey and struggle in calculus class. So here are the questions again. What do you remember? What stands out? What tiny details can you picture? Okay. What do you remember? Well, I remember when she lifts up the corner of the page and sees the 75%. That's what I remember, right? What I love also, just say here, is that this is not a student who says, oh, I struggled, and then the next thing she's got 100. So we take the journey. She brings us on her journey with us. And I guess that's probably answers the next question, which is what stands out? What stands out for me is, we see that she's like, okay, this is going to be the hardest class I take this year. She's usually confident, but she's having to get help. And so what stands out is that she, as a teenager, she hears other people say, I got 98%, another one say I got 100%. That's such a teenager event and episode, right? Who can't remember a time where in high school you felt less than because of something someone else did or saw or accomplished or had or wore, whatever the case may be, right? High school is no fun sometimes, I have to say. So that's what stands out, and that's also something that I remember. So she's being vulnerable in that spot. What tiny details can you picture? Well, again, for me, it's like when she says she lifts the corner of the page, the other tiny detail, the screen lights up and College Board announces the scores are released. And then that whole piece, I always say to students, give me every single detail. Turn that one, four-word sentence into like three sentences. I promise you can do it. And that's what helps get that essay etched in your brain, tattooed on your mind of the reader. Okay? When you can find a little detail to break down, it's gold. I'm telling you, it's gold. What do I learn about this applicant? Well, I learned that she doesn't give up. I learned that she was determined to sort of figure it out. I learned that she's okay in her skin, so to speak. Like, okay, yeah, she doesn't get a 98% or 100% like her other people in the class, but she's okay with her progress. I probably know that from her transcript, I probably know that most every other class she's getting, solid grades. So she's choosing to say, this one was a struggle, and this is why, but this is what I did. Again, this academic essay slash forward future connection, the goal is that the goal is to show the college that you are indeed ready to go to college. You're going to be a student. So here she gives me a glimpse into what kind of student she is, what kind of scholar she is, and how she pushes through even when the going gets tough. All right. Does that all make sense? Alrighty, so there you have it, the academic slash future connection essay. And by the way, if you're sitting there thinking, I could never write that essay, I want to just share a bit about that Kobe Bryant essay. So the student had started writing sort of these two things, and he knew he wanted to connect them, or his first draft, I remember reading his first draft, which was very just like a small short paragraph, and thinking, oh, I see it. So I asked him if he wanted to find a way to weave them in. And so what we did was we literally drew a chart and put in like the different things that are for basketball. So, the three pointer and the rebound and the pass and the time clock and the foul. We wrote sort of those things in a chart. And then I asked him, I said, so give me the equivalent to those same things like in the surgery room. And so he had to do a little bit of homework and research. And once he knew that he wanted to really write this cool essay, he was committed to the process. So it took several drafts to get there. But it just, again, it takes, I think, a little bit of guidance and coaching for sometimes someone else to help you see what could be a great essay, okay? Instead of, that essay could have been just fine if he wrote about, his shadow day, but it just made it all the better. And again, it's right up there with that Taco Bell essay. Oh my goodness. And reading it today again for the first time in a long time, I just was like taken aback by it again. So anyway, as you know, I have worked with thousands of students over the last 15 plus years. So I'm proud, really proud of all of the workshops I offer and the camps that I offer. So if you are still in that space of needing something, you can go to my website and I'm sure, I'm going to have something available so that you can have a quick win and get some download and purchase some templates and essays and things that you need, because this is a step-by-step process. This is for sure. There is a pattern and a way to do this and accomplish it without making yourself crazy. I had a student say to me, someone who took the camp, she said, I spent 10 hours, really crafting my first, my personal statement, 10 hours, and I still wasn't satisfied, but then took the class and in 16 hours, she wrote 7 essays. So I think about her and I think about all the students. You don't have a lot of time. So if you can take a little mini workshop with me and get some strategies, I think you're going to be better off using your time efficiently that way. So anywho, please go to my website, drcynthiacolon.com, and you can also go /essay workshop, and there should be something for you no matter what time you're catching this podcast, okay? So decide you want to stop procrastinating and get to it and really go for your, what I would call your Kobe Bryant essay. Oh my goodness. All right. So, folks, thank you so much for tuning in today. You are my family and my friends across the country. I am Dr. Cynthia Colon. So if this episode has inspired or helped you, fueled you in any way, shape, or form, please share this episode with three people in the next 30 minutes. And do not forget to download your 10 sample essays on my homepage labeled Stop Procrastinating, 10 sample essays to get you started. That's at drcynthiacolon.com, drcynthiacolon.com. Okay? Be sure to tune in next week. I'm going to give you some bonuses for the month of November, things that you need to either help with deciding on other colleges that you need to add to your list, bonus episodes about the UCs, things like that. So look for what's coming next, but, you know, be sure to tune in because I'll be here wherever you are. Same time, same place. All right? And also, if you did not see my KTLA interview, do be sure to catch that on my website. It's on the media page. But the behind-the-scenes college admission tips, I offer four tips in that interview. And they're really actually the highlights of the podcast series that was most popular over the summer, which is the Behind-the-Scenes Truths episodes 23, 24, and 25. I highly recommend binge listening to all of them. Thank you so much for listening this week. You can subscribe to Destination University wherever you get your podcast. And while you're there, do leave us a review. It sure does help a lot. By subscribing and reviewing, you are helping to grow the community of informed families across the nation. Thank you for joining the movement. I'll be sure to see you here next week, same time, same place. Until then, wherever you are, may you have a happy and sunny day. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening this week to Destination University. Be sure to join Dr. Cynthia Colon again next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel and get one step closer to your success. Are you ready to become the applicant every college wants to admit? Would you like to become the adult that models success? Then join the thousands of students, parents, and educators who have found the perfect solution. Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens, offers motivational and empowering workshops and keynote addresses for your school or organization. She fuels confidence in students on their road to university life. Cynthia coaches parents, educators, and professionals to model a success mindset for students. Go to drcynthiacolon.com to book her to speak, receive a free consultation, or have her as your personal coach. That's drcynthiacolon.com. Visit the site today.